Regular listeners of Afternoons Live know that we try to highlight local breweries when we have an opportunity to do that. In fact, if I'm out on the road, say like in Duluth, doing an impromptu show, we find a brewery to, in fact, broadcast from. Maybe we'll be doing that out in Mapleton after this conversation with Icewind Brewing. If you have not been out there, please do yourself a favor and go do it. In fact, the Plains Walker is a go-to for me. Rick Branvold is one of the owners of Icewind, and he's the incoming president of the Brewers Guild in North Dakota. And I wanted to have him in studio because, the talk of the area is about one of our other breweries in town here having some financial struggles. Fargo Brewing Company announced that they're filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy yesterday. And it just sparked the conversation of what's the state of craft beers and breweries here in 2024. So in studio right now is our friend Rick Branvold with Icewind and the Brewers Guild. Welcome back, Rick. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I was glad when I could come in the studio because last time we talked, I was in our brewery in a metal building. It just cut out halfway through.
That happens from time to time. That's the beauty of live radio.
Yeah.
When things don't always work out, technical difficulties, we all hear it. But then we just persevere through it. I'm glad you're in studio. One, because, we get to chat face-to-face, which tries to make it better. And then you came bearing gifts. The Planeswalker, I was telling you that was one of my favorites. And dad jeans. Tell me about dad jeans before we get into this conversation.
Dad jeans is kind of our easy drinking pale ale.
Okay.
It's kind of a throwback to some of the old classic pale ale beers, you know, Mirapon, Sierra Nevada.
Okay.
Just our everyday run-of-the-mill pale ale, so...
The Planeswalker that I was telling you, hey, that's like when I stumbled across the last time I was out there is my favorite. This Copper Ale.
Yeah.
This has got to be one of your top sellers. I got to imagine.
It is. It is. We have a few accounts in town that it's always on tap.
Really?
We call it a Copper Ale. It's technically a Kentucky Common Ale, which is an old beer style nobody knows about.
No, because if it would have said that, I'd go, I don't know what that is. I'll try it anyway.
Yeah. So we're like, we'll call it Copper Ale. That'll sell better.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and in fact, it did.
Yeah.
It sold me on it. Like, oh, Copper, Amber. Oh, yep. I'll try it. And then I haven't looked back since.
Well, good. Appreciate you drinking.
Well, yeah. And I appreciate the type of beer you guys make. It's good stuff. And it's a fun atmosphere you guys have out there as well.
Oh, thank you.
The breweries themselves. I remember being in the state Senate when breweries were still kind of new. You had, I think at that time, Fargo Brewing. And I think there was Laughing Sun. And it was at that time when others were starting to pop up and we're trying to figure out how can we get the opportunity for breweries to have their products distributed. So we don't have to go necessarily to that brewery to enjoy the locally made products. I think we've come a long ways in that, but the industry has changed quite a bit since then.
The industry's it's a weird spot right now.
Yeah.
You know, especially on the distribution side of things, it's, you know, the law was changed to let breweries self-distribute, which we do, you know, which whenever you can cut out a middleman, you can, make a little more, you get a little more face-to-face time. You
load up the truck and get on out there, right?
Yeah. And that's what I do. But it's a matter of the changing landscape too. You know, North Dakota has a lot of laws that aren't super brewer friendly.
Really?
They're slowly changing. It's very, very heavily geared towards distributors.
Yeah.
You know, you might say they wrote most of the laws, actually. So,
well, lobbyists go a long ways in a state like North Dakota. I know from experience on that.
Yeah.
I was happy at that time, and maybe they need to revisit this because in that session, and forgive me if I don't remember if it was 2013, 2015. It doesn't really matter. It's been about 10 years ago. That the distributors and the Brewers Guild at the time, and I don't remember who was president, I think it was the guys out at Laughing Sun at the time. Felt like we had an agreement. But, of course, the landscape, as you said, has changed. So if you could get a lot of change coming up in 2025, what's the biggest barrier for a brewery in North Dakota right now, do you think?
You know, it's pretty friendly for people that want to self-distribute.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very easy for out-of-state to get in here.
Okay.
Where, like, for us to go into Minnesota, it's 5-6 times more than for Minnesota to come into North Dakota.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and just getting, there's so many different options now. The RTDs, which are the ready-to-drink cocktails, all the seltzers, all the, you know. And it's hard for breweries to keep up with that because, you know, you're kind of one-trick ponies in a sense.
Yeah. Well, and if I've seen trends nationally, globally, it looks like beer consumption, at least for a little time, had dipped. I think the seltzers you brought up.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe that was going to be just a phase, right? We're going through the summer seltzer phase. It seems like even those big beer, I think about the Anheuser-Busch, right?
Yeah.
The Bud Light was making a seltzer, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
That everybody was trying to get into that. Has that simmered down now, or is seltzer still a big
competitor? Oh, yeah. Seltzer's still a big player.
Yeah.
You know, and breweries can make seltzers, but based on the law, it's got to be like a malt-based product. So,
okay.
You know, we got to ferment pretty much with sugar. Where a lot of the new ones now, the big popular ones, are they're just adding vodka.
Okay.
Because it's going to be a little bit cleaner,
mm-hmm.
a little easier to do.
Sure.
So
yeah, the ease of it, especially and then when you have the mass distribution or the mass production capabilities that they do. But, you know, I didn't do a timeline back, but we've seen in this area a number of breweries that have had to close their doors.
Yeah.
You know, there's one that used to be downtown that's no longer there. There's one that I think was on 7th Avenue here in Fargo that was kind of in the industrial park that had to close down.
Yep, that was Killstone.
Killstone. There you go. Thank you. Because I'd been there once. I couldn't remember the name of that. And I apologize to those guys for that. But a Drum Conrath, which Drum, I think was.
That's when he moved downtown to Drecker's spot. We bought his spot from him.
Yeah, correct, right?
We had Flatland in West
Flatland,
Fargo.
Flatland, yep. We had
Prairie Brothers.
Yeah, and I used to go to Prairie Brothers quite a bit.
Yeah.
Don made good beer down there, too. But, you know, when some of those close, I'm thinking, okay, well, it's location's an issue. Well, it can't all be location. I mean, there's got to be some other factors here. And I know that some make, and this is going to be just the cold truth, some make better beer than others. That's just the reality of this. But across the landscape of brewing, is there kind of a universal, I mean, are the inputs becoming just outrageously expensive? People pointed out in my text, for example, inflation's got to be a driving thing here.
Yeah.
Everything's
gone up.
Yeah.
You know, materials during COVID were more scarce for the smaller guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem too is like breweries need so much square footage to make your product, you know, you just need a lot of square footage to make it. So, you know, and when you're paying high dollar square foot in strip malls, wherever, like it's hard to recoup some of that.
Yeah. Well, and then when it comes to the business itself, like I said, I mean, yeah, I like your guys' product, but you also have, you know, the showroom, I guess,
the bar,
you go, wow, showroom came up.
That's kind of sick, right? You're still showing off your product.
It's all on display, and of course you get to enjoy the beverage.
Yeah.
But you have like trivia nights. You have all these other things that get people in there. That seems like it's necessary, right? I mean, other bars do that too, but I think of some of the other breweries in town here. And Fargo Brewing was one of them, where they had now the concert hall next to it, and I think the announcement that there's going to be another outdoor venue might have changed some of that. I look at Drecker and, of course, what they've got there as well. Well, they've got this big facility that I think helps. I don't want to say prop them up, because that sounds like I'm being negative towards their beer and their business, but you got to be creative, it seems like, in the brewery itself.
It's hard to make it just with beer now, right? Unless you have a restaurant attached to your place or you have something else.
Sure.
Especially for a smaller production facility like we are.
Our guest, if you're just joining us, is Rick Branvold. He's one of the owners of Icewind Brewing out of Mapleton and the incoming president for the North Dakota Brewers Guild. You got a little bit more time for me?
Oh, I got all the time.
Very good. I want to get a weather update from Too Tall Tom Schmancy. If you got comments, questions about breweries, now's your chance. 35270 is provided by Adventure RV. We're going to come back with Rick next. Rick Branvold, our guest in the studio, Icewind Brewing in Mapleton, and, the incoming president of the North Dakota Brewers Guild. And I've got comments coming in for you, Rick. Tyler, Rick is a class act in the brewing community. He is supportive of other breweries, even at a competitive breweries. This does say you can't really say that about some of the shiny operations in town, which I don't know what they're getting at there, but certainly a fan of yours and your ability to work with, you know, people that's one thing that in this industry that you're a part of. Yeah, you guys are competitors, but I've also seen you work collaboratively on things. I mean, the Brewers Guild, for example. Yeah. Coming together saying, this is what our industry is facing. Let's work together to make it easier to get the product out. I know that a couple years ago I was at an event that was under Bruce Skies. I know that's coming up. I don't know how much detail I can provide right now. I don't want to get Scott mad at me. But those opportunities where you as an industry come together and just kind of celebrate one another is pretty special, I think.
Yeah, so the brewing industry in itself is, you know, we kind of joke around, it's kind of a brotherhood, right? But it's also, you're also kind of competing for the same shelf space and the same tap lines. So, you know, a couple weeks ago we did, Drecker did Fooler's Ball, right? They have a big beer fest. They invite breweries from all over the, you know, the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was talking to Jesse and, you know, I was like, hey, thanks for inviting us. He's like, yeah, we just like to hang out with other breweries. So, and there is kind of that mentality of breweries are fun.
Yeah, they are. And that camaraderie. Right?
Yeah.
And somebody just texted in the trivia at Icewind is also top notch. Comes in at 35270. You know, but when we come back to the industry itself, I think there's some other factors. You and I were chatting a little bit off there. There's alternatives to alcohol now.
Yeah, the THC beverages are, you know, it's tough because we're a border state, right? Tyler, the other owner of Icewind, we were talking this morning. It was kind of harkens back to the days of bar close when it was 1 a.m. on this side of the river, 2 a.m. You know, you'd try to find somebody to get you over across the river. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, especially the liquor stores that are real close to Moorhead there, they're just going to go across the river and probably pick up their THC drinks or what have you.
So people are ordering gummies from all over the place now and saying, you know what, I'm taking a, you know, dry January and I'm getting into the gummies or whatever it is that I've heard people doing as well. There's also, I think, a change in generations.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I was in college, guess what? If it was a keg or a 30-pack of Bush Light, we were happy campers. Yep. Now you mentioned that, I mean, because you have to distribute to the liquor stores, that you're seeing younger people bring out all variety of things.
Yeah. Yeah, they're bringing out the seltzers, the Twisted Teas, the Sunny D seltzers, Monsters making alcohol now.
There is a friend of mine that just turned 40 yesterday who did the Sunny D things. I think he thought he was a kid again.
Yeah, yeah. There's
his
there's,
body doesn't quite recover as a kid, but I'm just anyway. That's a different story.
No, that's kind of what we're up against. It's you know, and there's kind of sensory overload when you go to the craft beer section too, because there's so many different things. You just kind of like you usually stick with a brand you like.
Yeah,
and then you might try to, if they got a different kind of brewery, you might grab that. But it's hard to just grab something and spend $20 on it and not know what you're getting.
See, and that's the other factor that somebody had brought up, and it's a business thing. I mean, you guys got to make a living, and you know, it's you don't have that big mass distribution. And they're saying, well, you know, I can go get a 30 pack of pick brand name, and it's this price, but I can go get like a 4-pack or a 10-pack, whatever it is, of a craft beer, and I'm paying more. But I mean, that's just the way of which the business is. That's the way the model's got to be for you guys to actually make a little bit of money, right?
Yeah. You know? Most breweries aren't getting rich, I can tell you that.
I imagine.
You know, and like fruit, a lot of fruit beers, fruit's expensive. Mm-hmm. Hops are expensive. Hops are more per pound than steak.
Really?
So. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, those are the input costs. That, you know, I'm thinking that everything has gotten more expensive. I mean, go to the grocery store, ladies and gentlemen. This is maybe a difficult question for you to answer, but did we oversaturate the area a little bit when it comes to the number of breweries? Because I think about there's been a few that have been successful. I think there have been some of the very good breweries that have not made it. Was there just too much at one time or not?
You know, I don't think so. You know, breweries, tap rooms are, you know, their own vibe, right? Because if it was just alcohol, then we'd have too many bars, but we got plenty of bars. Right?
Yeah.
People like tap rooms because it's a little different vibe. Mm-hmm. I'm biased, but I think a beer, you know, having 3-4 beers is a little different than 3-4 shots. I think that's a different kind of attitude sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you get into these late night bars, and it's just different. So breweries are a meeting place. They do events. A lot of them are family friendly. So I don't know that we oversaturated with breweries,
sure,
but maybe they just didn't have the right vibe.
No, I think when you say, look how many bars there are, it's a vibe. I think, okay, that was a perfect answer, because I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And you are right. It's a vibe that's family friendly. I mean, I've been to a number of spots that are breweries where, you know, families are coming in, they're playing, you know, Connect Four. You know, when you have the ability to bring your dog in just to kind of relax and have a cold one, I mean, it's a nice, relaxed vibe in a brewery that you're not going to get at pick sports bar of whatever you want to go. So if you create the right environment, you make good beer, they will come.
Yeah.
That's why I come out to Icewind over in Mapleton. As far as your guys' product, as far as your brewery, I'm hoping that maybe we can get a show out too there sometime this summer. But where can people find you that's not in Mapleton? I know you've been out distributing today, which is why we're able to get
you in the studio. We're pretty much statewide now. So we are in you know, all the Happy Harry's, Bottle Barns, Bernie's in town. We're on tap about 20 places in town. We're in Valley City, Jamestown, Bismarck, Dickinson, Watford City, Williston, Minot. So
everywhere, man, is what I just heard.
Yeah.
You're the new incoming president of the Brewers Guild.
Yeah.
Did they force you to, or did you volunteer?
You know, I said, I'll help out what you guys need. And Mike from Laughing Son's like, how about you be the president?
Yeah. So that's how this happens, you know, and now you don't get to retire from that.
Yeah.
This
is one of those things. So that's the hardest part is finding your replacement, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mike and the crew out of Laughing Son's.
And we have that big, the Under Bruce guys coming up. So we're bringing that back this year. It's cool. We're going to be at the lights this year.
Okay. So you are. I had the information, but I'm like, I don't know if I can break this yet.
Yeah.
So if you're the president, by all means, tell us about it.
Yeah. So we're going to do, it's going to be at the lights this year in West Fargo there. We're shooting to have about 25 breweries there.
Okay.
I think tickets are going to be going on sale pretty soon.
Okay.
Big venue, good parking. So attendance won't be a problem.
Well, here's
tickets will be $45.
Here's what I want you to do, Rick. When tickets are available, come back on.
Yeah.
We'll promote it. Because I went to the last Under Bruce guys, had a great time.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's one of those, I got to have the breweries from Dickinson, from, you know, that area where I don't get out that way often, but I'm curious what the product is.
We have
a
lot of cool breweries in North Dakota.
Very good. This is fun. Let's do this again, all right?
Deal.
Very good. Get out to Icewind. Rick Brandvold is one of the owners and, of course, the incoming president of the Brewers Guild here in North Dakota.